You're here for the first time. We want to welcome you and thank you for coming on this very special day of Pentecost. As you can see, there were some glitches along the way, which, in the reading of the story in Acts chapter 2, there were some glitches on that day where the disciples were gathered, just about as many as are here today. We're gathered in a small room praying, and it's hard to describe. Sounds like maybe a railroad engine train was coming by, and it was a fiery sound, and they tried to describe some things, and it was just chaos at that time. Well, welcome today to Pentecost Sunday. I hope as we continue going through our service today that you and I are going to open our hearts, and we're going to say, Holy Spirit, as best I know you, as best I know myself, I want you to transform me after the likeness and the image of Jesus Christ. Let's do that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have your way with us today. Holy Spirit, move among us. As pastor, I give you this congregation, this precious group of people who love you and are faithful to you. Make us after the likeness and the image of Jesus. Amen. Well, few days I was on a retreat with my son, and we went to Colorado on Thursday, and there was about 50 fellas there, church leaders, and he and I decided to go and make it a father-son kind of a deal. And I decided to do an experiment. I don't know if you notice all the experiments we do around here. But our finance committee decided just recently that they wanted to have us talk more about having a spirit of generosity. So what I did before I got on the plane in San Francisco, I went to one of the kiosks and I bought a little box of See's candy. And when I got on the plane, I handed the box of candy to the flight attendant. And I said, this is for you. And she said, what is this? And I said, just See's candy. And I kept it wrapped in the cellophane, so it was obvious that it wasn't going to be any mischief involved. And she said, well, who are you? And I said, believe me, I'm a nobody. What seat are you in? And I thought that was curious, and I told her. So we got airborne, and she came and said, I have a better seat for you. And she upgraded my seat. And she did. And she gave me a first-class gourmet breakfast meal while everybody else around me was having peanuts. And I enjoyed it. Well, I didn't do that, expecting anything in return. I was just trying to exercise this spirit of generosity. You know, flight attendants have gotten some bad press here in recent weeks, and so I thought, this will be a blessing to them. Well, I thought, wonder if I did it again, what might happen? Yeah. My motivations are always mixed, and so I did the same thing on the return leg last night, and nothing happened for the longest time. And then a flight attendant came, and she said the pilot really liked those See's candies. In fact, we only got one, and he got the rest of the box. But he wanted me to give you this, and it's obviously a bottle of wine of some kind. I've never seen it before. Bottega Prosecco. And I looked it up online last night to see how much it's worth. And it's worth $42. I don't know what the airline charges, but so I was thinking of, when I told that to the elders who were praying with me this morning, they looked They said that would be an experiment too much, is what their faces said. Well, today we do want to look at what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost. Penta meaning 50. It's 50 days plus Sundays after the resurrection of Christ. And it's one of three high holy days of the Christian year. Obviously, we think of Christmas, which celebrates the work of the Father in creation and in sending Jesus. Then there's Easter, where we celebrate and honor the resurrection of Christ. Well, Pentecost is now when the Holy Spirit descended on those 120 disciples there in the upper room. But they didn't understand at the moment what was going on. They figured it out as time went along. And Peter has a sermon as part of chapter 2 and 3 of Acts, where he explains what's going on, and there's a great conversion and revival that happens to a bunch of people. Well, before Jesus left, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And I want to share with you some characteristics of this Holy Spirit, because we Presbyterians, we really like the Father. We trust in Jesus. The Holy Spirit, we're going to send the Holy Spirit to committee. And, we try to regulate the Holy Spirit because we're basically, you know, controllers, managers, those kind of things. And we don't like things that, we don't like giving up control. Well, the Holy Spirit is into being in control and is always working to break down our own self-will, our own self-independent, rebellious determination, and is trying to make us pliable, yielded to Jesus and the Father. And the Holy Spirit is not always quietly at work. He wasn't, obviously, on Pentecost. But most of the time, the Holy Spirit is quite gentle. I think I may have shared with you one time before that among the personality types of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is the shyest of the three. The Father sits on the throne and, you know, is orchestrating everything. Jesus is sitting there beside him, is praying to him. And the Holy Spirit, if some of you may remember me doing this, if this is Jesus, if this pulpit were Jesus, here's what the Holy Spirit, if I'm representative of the Holy Spirit does this. Is always pointing to Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't point to himself. The Holy Spirit is really someone who is at work trying to make people look and follow Jesus. So here's what Jesus said. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. We've been looking for the last several weeks at some final comments of Jesus. You remember a few weeks ago we saw that one of the things that Jesus does is that he makes us one with himself and the Holy Spirit and the Father. Another week we saw that Jesus is praying for us, and we asked the question, what would you like, what do you imagine Jesus doing to pray for you? And so today we're going to look at the Holy Spirit, because these are among the final comments that Jesus has. In John chapter 16, he says, beginning in verse 5, he says, "Now I'm going to him who sent me." Jesus is speaking, saying, "I'm going to the Father. Yet none of you ask, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief." They're filled with grief because Jesus is taken off. He's not going to be. He's saying, "I'm not going to be here after a while. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe me in regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, and because of the prince of this world, now stands condemned. You got to see what that sentence looks like in Greek. It is just one humongous thing, and there's, of course, no punctuation in the Greek. But he's saying there that the Holy Spirit is coming, and he's going to be a counselor, and he is going to be doing a work in the culture to convict people of sin. Now, you've probably seen, I don't know if this is what the Holy Spirit did or not, but it sort of is kind of what the Holy Spirit would do. Kathy Griffin is a comedian, and she had a really pretty grotesque picture of a beheaded version of the president. And there was really a visceral reaction in the culture. That is typical of what the Holy Spirit might be doing. I don't know if, I have to tell you that. This is just up to the Spirit. But this is what the Holy Spirit does. The Spirit will say, you've gone too far. You crossed the line. Here's judgment. Here's conviction. Here's guilt. Now, don't take that politically, please, because it cuts both ways. Verse 12, it says, I have much more to tell you, more than you can now bear. You know, this is a significant comment. Last few days when I was with my son, there were some things that the Spirit revealed to me that happened when I was a youngster, when I was a toddler, and that have been bothering me up until now. And it was the Spirit who said, now you're old enough. You're mature enough to handle what I'm about to tell you. And it was my son who spoke to me. What made more sense to me in terms of a struggle that I've had in my life that he's known about. But I couldn't hear it until now. And it was now that the Spirit said, I'm going to show this to you. I'm going to open your eyes so that you can see it and receive it and make some appropriate changes. Then verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Let me share with you, if you could put on the screen the Hebrew word for spirit. This is, you've seen some of these letters before. This is, of course, this was written in the Greek, but in the Hebrew, this is what it looks like. Starting on the far right hand side, the letters are going to help self-define what the word means. And listen carefully, because I believe this is really, really fascinating to us. The far right-hand side looks like a backwards capital P, and it is going to eventually become our letter R. But this is the, it starts off with this first letter. The face, the picture of the letter there is of a person. This is the top face on an Indian totem pole. When I showed this to the Mojave Indians, I wasn't thinking of that, but they recognized that. Oh, that's the highest face, the most honored face of when we make a totem pole. And the letter means something, someone is personable, that the Holy Spirit is not an it, but is a living person who has personality and attributes and powers, just like the other parties of the Trinity, just like you and me. And so the Holy Spirit is not some external power that is inanimate, but is very animate. This also means that the Holy Spirit is, you remember that little cartoon, Casper the Friendly Ghost? Was that who it was? Okay, I remember that as a little kid, and I was kind of cute at the time. Well, the Holy Spirit is not a Casper the Friendly Ghost. This is a person who must be reckoned with. The middle letter there is the nail, and it's going to join two thoughts together. The final letter, the letter on the far left-hand side, is the window pane. You see the vertical upright window screen and light coming through it. When the Holy Spirit comes to work in your life and in mine, the Holy Spirit is very personable. The Holy Spirit knows you, knows what you're like. And when Jesus says, I have a lot more to tell you, but you can't bear it right now. Well, there are times in your life and mine when the Holy Spirit has perfect timing and reveals to you what you and I need to know. But this Holy Spirit brings, his role is not to make us weird. It's not to make us something strange and bizarre. Holy Spirit is there to bring us light, to make us more of what we already are and better at what we already are. Just listening to the pronunciation, some of you will brace yourself for this. It is, in English, when you're reading along, it's pronounced ruach. But when it would be read in the Hebrew at the time, in the Old Testament, it would be pronounced ruach. That's how it's pronounced. And when the ruach comes, you get the instant impression this is not Casper the Friendly Ghost. This is somebody you're going to have to deal with. And so when the Holy Spirit came down on the disciples there in Acts 2, that was a demonstration of the great forcefulness, power that the Holy Spirit can demonstrate. Most of the time, though, this rock is very personable and brings us light. Let's read on. In verse, I was on 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. That's the shy part. He will speak only what he hears. And by the way, you see the male personal pronoun that the Holy Spirit is, Jesus describes as a he. The Holy Spirit technically is neither a he nor she. And technically, the Holy Spirit is he and she, both complete. But because of the limitations of language, we need to have a personal reference, and so Jesus calls him a he. He will tell you what is yet to come. Have you ever gotten a premonition? I get them periodically. That's the Holy Spirit telling you what's coming up. Verse 14, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said to you that the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In one of the translations, in most of the other translations, it refers to the Spirit as an advocate. It does use the term comforter in this passage, and it uses the word counselor, and it says also that he will convict the world of sin and things like that. When the Holy Spirit is referred to as an advocate, I don't know if you've ever had to go into the legal court systems where you had to hire an attorney. What you want is a really good attorney when you have to go before a judge and before you have to deal with legal things. The Holy Spirit doesn't hesitate to refer to himself as an advocate. I've been sued several times. Not because of any misdeeds, but because I represented the church. And there was a period of 7 years when I was in business, and I had numerous dealings with the court systems. And in fact, we had a big company, and we had 8 lawyers on the staff. And we would assign them different tasks according to their abilities and their specialties. And I remember one time that my company was being charged with something, and my lawyer, I saw him as a representative of the Holy Spirit. He was advocating that our position was correct, that we were doing what we were supposed to be doing. And it was a visual illustration to me that that is what the Holy Spirit is doing for you and for me right now. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, talking, begging, appealing to the Father. And it is the Holy Spirit that, according to the book of Romans, is taking the aches, the longings, the groanings, the sighs inside of us, taking them to the Father, to Jesus, and is advocating for us. Now, let me tell you what an advocate does in the worst of times. An advocate, a defender, will go before a judge and will say, "Yes, but." Yes, but. That is to say, Holy Spirit will say, "Yes, he did sin. She did sin. She did wrong. But Father, I want to stand up for this person. I want to advocate for them. I want to defend them. You need to look at this other parts of what's going on in their life. You need to see the work that I'm doing in that person's life. In fact, we're going to be using whatever incident or difficulty or stress or problem that is going on. We're going to use that to this person's benefit. And so grant their prayers. Bless them. Redeem them. Rescue them." I cannot tell you the number of times that I have felt that I have felt rescued from sometimes my own willful mistakes, sometimes because of things happening to me. And I have to believe that it was the Holy Spirit that was advocating for me, saying, "Yes, Toby did this, but here's what I'm also doing." Okay, this is the kind of God that you and I have. This is the one that we worship. I don't know if I made some light of it last week, some humor. You know that in the catalog of gods, you know, as you're looking through a shopping list of some of the attributes, and you know, here you have Christianity, Jesus Christ, Buddha, Muhammad, Islam, Confucianism, Taoism, and a bunch of others. And then you have those check marks, you know, of attributes and things that they give in terms of benefits compared to the others. There's nobody out there like Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father who comes pursuing us, who chooses you and me, who is praying for you and me, who gives us the Holy Spirit to transform us into the image of what we can't be ourselves. Folks, as I read these things of Jesus and his final comments, I'm thinking, Lord, I just want to give myself to you. I want you to be in charge. I want you to be the God of my life. And for the remaining days that I have, I want you to use me in whatever ways that you can. And Holy Spirit, I'm praying that for us, that in whatever days that you and I have left, that the Holy Spirit will be in charge. Last night as I was traveling, I got off the plane and found my way on BART, and I have a new description for BART. I didn't see, on the landings there, there are some rules: no skateboards, no panhandling, that sort of stuff. There's one rule they don't have on there, but it's real. And it's this rule. It says, don't do anything weird. You know, just get your space, mind your own business, don't do anything that is going to make other people uncomfortable. Don't look at people. Don't walk up to people. Just Mind your own business. Stay cool. I didn't notice too many Presbyterians there. But I got up, in any case, I got on the BART and I had to sit next to this lady. And this lady, I was asking her about herself, what she does. And when I was, I had an hour plus with her, and she told me her whole story of, and at the end of her story, she said, you know, I haven't had anybody listen to me like this in a long time. And I said, well, how'd it feel? And she says, it feels really wonderful, but I see that my life is a waste because it's all consuming. It's all about me. And then she asked what I do, and I just pulled out my iPhone and I started flipping through some pictures and showing some the disasters I've been on and doing work like that. And she says, oh, I would give anything to be able to be of use to people, to serve other people. And I said, well, can I pray a blessing on you? And this took an hour plus. And I held her hand and I said, God, I'm asking that your spirit would come upon her, that she would feel your hand upon her, that you would give her that direction, that purpose, that calling in her life that will make her fulfilled, that you would show her your love for her. And soon after that, she had to get off the BART. But I was thinking, that's what the Holy Spirit does for you and me, is that the Holy Spirit listens to our story, is very personable that way, and then gives us light. Isn't that what you and I want? Light. And we will always head towards the light. It's not like he has to force us. Not like he has to coerce us. But we head towards the light. Let me pray that blessing and then let's participate in a very sacred ceremony. Father, Son, I'm talking to you too directly, that you would grant to us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you would make us fall in love with the Holy Spirit, that we would welcome, embrace, invite the Holy Spirit to be in control of our life, that we would choose to surrender, that we would not continue to be self-willed, determined. Lord, that you would give us light so that we can respond. So often our life is just filled with darkness because we can't see what's coming up, and we need for you, Holy Spirit, to prompt us and show us what's coming up, to tell us the truth, to give us the light, to show us that you're a safe person. Lord, thank you. Thank you for leaving Jesus. Thank you for going to the Father. Thank you for doing the work that you're doing right now. And I'm asking, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would be a welcomed person in us and in this congregation. That like the balloons that fell down, that you would fall down upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took very common elements and he broke it. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. Again, thinking of comparative religions, do you know of any other religious leader that offered such a thing? I don't know of any. This is my body given to you. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. After pouring it, he said, this is my blood, which is shed. This is the new covenant. This is the new way that you're going to be connected to the Father. It's going to be through my blood on the work of the cross. Servers, would you please join me? You do not have to be a member of this church. You do not have to be particularly holy. We want you to come as you are. And I'm asking that when you come forward in just a moment, that you would come with not holy hands, but needy hands. It says, God, I need you especially in this area or in that area of my life. And Holy Spirit, I need you as a person to come alongside me and show me, give me light as to what I need to do or be in that situation. We encourage you to come. If you have never, one final thing, if you have never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, this is the day to do it. If you're coming down the aisle, you come and you say, Jesus, I'm coming. I'm coming to you. I'm putting my hope and trust and faith in you. And I want you to forgive me of my sins, to place them on the cross, to give me the gift of eternal life. And Holy Spirit, come and live now within me. In Jesus' name we pray. You come as you're prompted.